Jerome K. Jerome, from Sketches in Lavender, Blue and Green, 1897. Portrait of a Lady. My work pressed upon me, but the louder it challenged me, such is the heart of the timid fighter, the less stomach I felt for the contest. I wrestled with it in my study, only to be driven to my books. I walked out to meet it in the streets, only to seek shelter from it in music hall or theatre. Thereupon it waxed importunate and overbearing, till the shadow of it darkened all my doings. The thought of it sat beside me at the table and spoilt my appetite. The memory of it followed me abroad and stood between me and my friends, so that all talk died upon my lips, and I moved among men as one ghost-ridden. Then the throbbing town, with its thousand distracting voices, grew maddening to me. I felt the need of converse with solitude, that master and teacher of all the arts, and I bethought me of the Yorkshire wolds, where a man may walk all day, meeting no human creature, hearing no voice but the curlew's cry, where, lying prone upon the sweet grass, he may feel the pulsation of the earth, travelling its 1,100 miles a minute through the ether. So one morning I bundled many things, some needful, more needless, into a bag, hurrying lest somebody or something should happen to stay me. And that night I lay in a small northern town that stands upon the borders of Smokedom, at the gate of the Great Moors. And at 7 the next morning I took my seat beside a one-eyed carrier, behind an ancient piebald mare. The one-eyed carrier cracked his whip. The piebald horse jogged forward. The 19th century, with its turmoil, fell away behind us. The distant hills, creeping nearer, swallowed us up, and we became but a moving speck upon the face of the quiet earth. Late in the afternoon we arrived at a village, the memory of which had been growing in my mind. It lies in the triangle formed by the sloping walls of three great fells, and not even the telegraph wire has reached it yet, to murmur to it whispers of the restless world, or had not at the time of which I write. Nought disturbs it, save once a day, the one-eyed carrier, if he and his piebald mare have not yet laid their ancient bones to rest, who, passing through, leaves a few letters and parcels to be called for by the people of the scattered hill farms round about. It is the meeting place of two noisy brooks. Through the sleepy days and the hushed nights, one hears them ever chattering to themselves, as children playing alone some game of make-believe. Coming from their far-off homes among the hills, they mingle their waters here, and journey on in company. And then their converse is more serious, as becomes those who have joined hands and are moving onward towards life together. Later, they reach sad, weary towns, black beneath a never-lifted pall of smoke, where day and night the clang of iron drowns all human voices, where the children play with ashes, where the men and women have dull, patient faces, and so on, muddy and stained, to the deep sea that ceaselessly calls to them. Here, however, their waters are fresh and clear, and their passing makes the only stir that the valley has ever known. Surely, of all peaceful places, this was the one where a tired worker might find strength.